You might like to turn in your Bible to Hebrews and chapter 11. As we open our Sunday school time, in our exercise in the light of a book of Hebrews, as we're looking at it, and remind yourself, if you would, to get the keep always a foundation. Adam and Eve sinned, and when Adam and Eve sinned, they went from good to being centered, to having the center piece in their old nature, evil. And having evil, they entered into darkness. Now, so Cain being born, etc., is born dead in sins. That means he has no relationship to God, and he is in thus darkness, and he has no relationship to God. So therefore, all us humans are born like that. And when we're born like that, we need to have our relationship restored to God in his saving grace by way of Calvary's cross. And in the process of having our relationship restored because of Christ's death, we're able to go from darkness to light, from death to life. Now, that has to as a transaction. In evil, in an unsaved, carnal, fleshly mind, being separated from God leaves us earthbound. We're bound by the senses, sight and hearing and touch and taste. We're bound by them. God is not earthly and is not bound by such things. God is different, holy. And so to know God, the invisible God, as you have to understand, he's invisible. By that I mean, it's impossible to go and have God centered apart from our Lord Jesus Christ, doing it perfectly. How do we take an infinite God who has no measurements? How do you take God who is everywhere and there's nothing outside of God? How do you squash that God down to something you can see like we do? How could you possibly even conceive of it? God, then, is God. He's wonderfully, wonderfully God. And without faith, Genesis 1, 1 and 2, God, in the beginning, created heaven and the earth. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Because the carnal mind, the evil, darkness, doesn't want to see light, rejects light. And so in having that, then what are we going to do? How are we going to do it? We can't in our flesh. We can't pull this off. So what are we going to have to do? We're going to have to go by faith. Everyone has faith. They exercise it. We've said it. Shared it all these different times. So faith is a commodity we all have. We all exercise it. So we have to have faith. That is, we have to believe something is what it is and trust it, believe it, have faith in it. We believe that the pew is the pew. We believe the light is the light. We believe the light switch is the light switch. We believe the car key is the right one for the ignition. We believe God, who is invisible. We believe how? God's word. God says something. We don't make it happen. God's word is a revelation of himself. Now how are we going to come to God in darkness, in evil? We're going to have to come by faith. When you go, if you were blind physically and otherwise, and you were going to go and be given sight. You have to go and commit yourself by faith to the surgeon, to the doctor. You would have to go and do that by faith. You have no idea to fix it. You can't see anything. You have no idea what sight is. You have ignorant. You're going to have to come, and you're told if people can see. And you, evidence is everywhere. People see. I don't see. So therefore, God, therefore to the surgeon, I'm going to come by faith. I'm going to have him help open my eyes so that I can see. Until I open my eyes, then I can see. All of it is the same in darkness. Always the same. Always as it's been. No matter what you tell me. You tell me that orange is green and green is blue. I don't know that. I don't know that anymore in my blindness. No matter how much you give me. I have to take it by faith that there is such a thing as green and blue. Now, having said that, that's the background you need to have. Humans have to have faith. How can we ever approach, enter in, to get out of darkness into the light, out of death, relationship to God, to have one, life? How can we do it without God? How are we going to come to God? We have to come by faith. Because our evil, our old nature, doesn't want to see. It's blind. So therefore we have to come. And by faith, and thus introduces us again to chapter 11 of Hebrews. Now, keep in mind, we shared together, that faith is the substance, in verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, we did all that, but keep in mind the word substance is the word under, and then the word support, under support. If support, the pew supporting you, under. That which is under you to support. That which supports. Faith supports whatever it believes. Faith is reaching out and believing the car is the right one, believing the hot faucet is the right one to turn on. Faith is doing that. And it honors whatever faith is looking at. It holds it. If it's real, if faith is in the right thing, then we can look. And when we look at faith, we look at what is faith trusting in. Buddhism or some such thing. And in using it, we have this is a God, a pantheism or something. And we look to God. We look to God. We have faith in Buddhism. Whatever. All right. Now, what's faith holding? It's seeking to hold, believe, Buddhism. But where's the reality of Buddhism? So if we examine what faith is holding, I believe in Buddhism. I have faith in Buddhism. If I look at what you're holding, Buddhism, it's awful hard to find the reality that you say is there. And it isn't there. So we can hold a lot of things. We believe the bus is going to leave at 10 o'clock, and it actually left at 9. We actually believe that. So if you ask me where I'm going to go in the bus, and I'm going to go to the bus to so-and-so, it leaves at 10 o'clock. And so if you ask me, I'm verifying what? The bus is going at 10 o'clock somewhere. But actually, my faith is actually at 10 o'clock and the bus leaves at 9. My faith is holding. What's it holding? Is it holding the reality? So whatever faith is, we look for the reality that it's holding. the bus leaving at 10 o'clock, etc. We're looking for that. Faith holds God, the invisible God. How are we going to touch God, deal with God? We have to go by faith. Hang on, I don't want to get too much. Now, chapter 11. Faith is the substance of things not seen, the evidence, the proof, the hope. Now, and so that's the word, faith. And you got to understand, it's without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you got to have faith. It's the reality. Now, so picking up, if I can, in the light of that, so you can see it's building a little bit again, over to Hebrews 4. And in chapter 2, you remember, 4 and 2. 4. There's a wonderful rest. Chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, God's rest, not ours, God's peace, not ours, any of you should seem to come short of it. Unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, as preached unto them. But the word preached, verse 2, did not profit them. Why not? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. It was there's the word. What are you going to put to support the word? You're going to put your faith under it to hold it. That's what you're going to do. There it is. Here's the bulletin. My faith. Do I believe it's a bulletin? I do. There it is. What's it need for me? For you to know that. I say it's a bulletin. It is the bulletin. I need to go and put my faith under it. I believe it's a bulletin. My faith has locked on to this bulletin. And I now am demonstrating I believe it's the bulletin. So when you look at what I'm holding, it's going to be what? The bulletin. Got it? Not hard. Now, having said that, God, how are we going to get to God? Here's God. What are we going to do with God? I believe. God is invisible. Now we have to go and find the invisible God in whose presence we are, who's invisible. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, it wasn't mixed with faith. Over to chapter 6. Therefore, verse 1, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. You have to understand, you're exercising, you ought to be moving on in what you're understanding, and how do you grow? I have faith that 1 + 1 = 2. I have faith, I'm growing. I need to have faith that what? 2 + 2 = 4. I'm growing. Faith, I'm exercising it. 3 + 3 = 6. 9 + 9 = 18. 10 + 10 = 30. But it won't, when you look at it, it isn't 30. My faith is there. I got the wrong answer. I got to retract that. I take my faith away. Because 10 + 10 = 30. It's 20. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, so that's what God's saying. You've got to go and grow. And you have to keep exercising faith. That's what you're doing. We're going, we're looking at God's word. And we're looking at the Bible, which is to be believed by faith. Remember the word faith / believe, having faith. Believing is having faith. believe. Same root, same persuaded. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and chapter 10 will be sufficient to get you the idea. And in verse 22, chapter 22, verse 22. Let us draw near with a heart, true heart, and full assurance of faith. That's what we're doing. So, and having our hearts sprinkled with an evil conscience, from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water, we're coming to God. And you, God, you're able to save me? Yes, He is, by faith. What I'm looking at God's saving faith. You look at God's saving faith. I'm resting on it, showing it, and it's real. Not make-believe, no error. It's true. So I'm demonstrating God's saving faith. And it's so an assurance of faith. I'm just keep building. That's what faith does. That's why you have, without turning there, in Thessalonians, they all got saved in a most wonderful way, not a mediocre way or nothing. They got wonderfully saved, truly saved, with having much assurance, had faith. And the, everyone knew they were different. And lo and behold, they kept growing by faith, mixing truth, God's word with by faith, believing it. And as they did that, you come to 2 Thessalonians, written about a year later. And what have we got? Their faith is increasing. It's increasing. That's what happens. Two plus two is four, etc. It just keeps in faith. You keep having faith, and you keep growing. What you knew here by faith, you now know here by faith, and you keep growing and growing and growing by faith. Without it, it's impossible to go anywhere. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, back over, if I can, to Hebrews 11. And if we share together, God's going to give a whole list illustration of it. And He's going to take. He doesn't tell you about their people's problems or anything. Why doesn't He tell you about their problems? Why doesn't God tell you about they shouldn't have done that or they were not good guys? Why don't you do that, God? Because we're looking at here they are. And by the word faith, used in chapter 11, is used 24 times. 24 times in the verses. And why do you keep saying that, God? I want to demonstrate. Look at chapter 10. And chapter 10, verse 38. Remember, introducing chapter 11, chapter 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So the just shall live by faith. And He's going to give a whole big, long list. But He isn't going to talk about anything. You'd say, how can that? He isn't there, but let's say it. Here's Lot. Now, who's going to say Lot's saved? God says he is. Isn't Lot a rascal? He is. He's a terrible rascal. But he's saved. Why is he saved? He's trusting the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross for all us humans. Now, why don't you bring up any of the bad? Because I crucified it. That's why you're dead in sins. Because of your sin, you're dead, you're separated from God. I have took care of that. So when you got saved, did anyone get saved? Are they ever told to sit down and go to the psychiatrist, psychologist, or something, and spend five sessions to analyze all the things that they haven't done right in order to get saved? You don't. God never brings up, I can go to the guy that just shot 45 people and tell him to make sure he puts his gun down And I can go talk to the guy and tell him, that what you just did is bad, bad. But do you know that Christ died on the cross for you? And if you would receive him as your Savior and understand that what you did is horrible, you can get saved right this second without bringing up any of his past. That's how you got saved. That's how I got saved. Nothing of your past. Nothing about you that's lousy. That's your old nature. God saves you. And he never brings it up. Why? Because it's crucified. And that's why we don't bring it up to God, because it's crucified. God, I went and did it again, and I shouldn't have done that or said that. And all of that, and we didn't do it, and God, God, are you listening? No. God says, please don't tell me about your old nature. I know everything about it. You actually just come and say, thank you that I'm saving you. Thank you that I died on the cross to take care of every lousy, rotten thing you ever thought, did, or whatever. I died. You're going to come to me and trust me straightway. How? By faith. By faith. That's how you're coming. You're not coming because you deserve, he should listen because you're in need. No, he's going to listen because he took care of your sin on Calvary and mine on Calvary's cross. And he's done with it. I need to know that's why I can be saved. He's done with it, and I can receive him as my Savior. I have to do that by faith. Abel, chapter 11, verse 4, Abel did that. He believed, and his sacrifice, or as opposed to Cain, the city, and his sacrifice, that's what he did. He sacrifices, plural, offerings. He went, and he did. He honored God. He honored, that's what he did. He didn't have to go back and say, well, I was born separated from God in sin. I'm kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And he didn't have to say any of that. He just had to believe God, that God was able to save him in the state, in his state of existence, which understood evil and death. Now, so that's true, for he is able. Then we go into Enoch, chapter 11, verse 5. What does Enoch do? Enoch pleases God. He's walking with God. He's looking to God. What's he doing? He's believing, walk in faith, and what, we walk by faith and not by sight, 2 Corinthians. He's walking with God, with the invisible God, in his presence. He recognized God for who he is. That's what we have, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. That's why you read it. That's why verse 3 is there. Why? God created everything, and the only way you can ever come close to understanding it is by faith. You've got to give God credit. He's God. Now, having said that, so here's Enoch pleasing God and giving honor to the invisible God. And it was God was pleased. So when we come then, that introduces verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please him. Enoch pleased God, and God took him. And we did all that a little bit. And he did that because Noah was coming, Genesis flood. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, verse 6. Verse 7, by faith, God continues, by faith Noah being warned of God of things not seen, underline in your mind, not seen. What didn't you see? You never saw rain. You never saw a battleship. You never went to shipbuilding school. You didn't do anything. What did you do? You, by faith, built something that was totally foreign to the environment. totally unnecessary for the environment. You see, I didn't see it, Noah said. But God said, do it. I don't see any rain. No one sees rain. But God, you said it. I'm going to do it. He puts faith under what God said, and therefore he builded the ark. That's what he did. Which is faith is under the ark. Now, so therefore, under the, seeing that, and in verse 6, not seen as yet, a move with fear prepared an ark to the saving of his soul, house, by the which he condemned the world, because he did that. The world didn't believe, and Noah did, and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith, and we did righteousness, and faith makes for righteousness. Now, having said that, and here's Noah, and Noah is a wonderful person. And in the reference, just for that part of it anyway, over to Peter, 1 Peter, and in chapter 3. In 1 Peter chapter 3, picking up, please, in verse 20. Which sometime were disobedient, not believing, when once the long-suffering of God, long before being angry, waited, when? In the days of Noah. How long? While the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. And you want to understand, 120 years, here's the design in his head, Noah, and building the ark, and its intricacies to put all those animals in and everything, and to do all of that. And he did that. So you can see why, because he didn't have all of the equipment like you're going to get for the parking lot, big stuff. You don't have that. He just had little old Noah and his mind and heart and what they could do in their wonderful ability. And they built the ark like a battleship, literally. You have to understand that. Steve was on the ark, and he's one of the ones that survived. He and the animals. And didn't, right, Steve? He was there. Isn't that involved when you went through the ark? Wasn't it? When you went in the ark, wasn't it a lot of work to that? It would take a long time for you to build that. That's just a conversation because it's hard to talk to people that live in the past like that and try to tell them. Now, chapter 2. 2 Peter, chapter 2. And again, here's Noah. And in chapter 2, picking up, please, in verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment. And, by the way, in all of that, he spared not, in Noah's day, he spared not the old world that was flooded, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. In other words, the world could look and see for 120 years the ark going up, and Noah kept telling him God's going to judge. But for 120 years, no one believed him, and so no one got in the ark. No one got in. They didn't believe. They had 120 years to pay attention. That's a long time, and it just didn't do much good. Now, so therefore we go, chapter 11, Hebrews. in Hebrews in chapter 11, sliding down to verse 8. Now remember, everyone, this is before the flood. They all were just believing by faith. There's no Jew, all Gentiles, and they're all the same language, same background, same everything. That's who they are. So that's one condition. But in that condition, everyone had to do what? They had to believe by faith. So after the Genesis flood comes Abraham. And verse 8. And by faith, oh, and by the way, do you see the word going up to verse 4? The first two words, by faith. By faith? That's going to be repeated over and over and over again. By faith. By faith / because of faith. Because of faith, Abel. Because of faith, Enoch. Because of faith, Noah. Because of faith, Abraham. And you're going to keep reading it because it's all about because of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Now, so therefore, in verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, the word obey to hear, the result of good hearing is obedience. You're going to do it. You're going to do what you heard. It should receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Now, remember, Abraham, by Noah didn't see anything, but he went and did it anyway. How do you do the impossible? By faith. What do you do when you don't know? You don't, by faith, you don't know. By faith, you put it under the whatever you're believing and trusting and looking at to know. You, by faith, to know. How are you going to see? By faith, Noah believed, and there's the ark. By faith, Abraham believed God, and he went forth. That's what he didn't know. So here we are, us humans. We don't see all kinds of things in your daily life, in our national, global situations. We see, but we don't see. But by faith, God does. God sees. We don't know how it's going to go or what to do. God knows. We're trusting God, the invisible God who knows, who sees, who can do. Therefore, by faith. So here we are looking at Noah, not knowing, and he obeyed. That's what he did. He honored God. And in the process, I'll get that a little bit over, if I can, Genesis and 26. Genesis and 26, I think. And in chapter 26, verse 4. 26, 4. We're looking at Abraham by faith, not knowing. Obeyed. Verse 4. I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So that includes the whole ball of wax God's going to do. And why are you going to do it with Abraham? Because, verse 5, that Abraham, and what's the little word that you got in Hebrews 11? Obeyed. What did he do? He obeyed God. What are you saying in Hebrews 11, 8? He obeyed God by faith. That's what he did. What was he for? He didn't know. He didn't need to know. He needed to understand. God said something, do something, understand something. I don't, but by faith, believe it. What do we say about the Bible? You don't understand. You don't understand. Here's the 66 books. Wow. but we're to believe them. You at least can believe that God said it. Don't debate, don't argue. Believe it. You've got to believe and before you understand. You're trying to understand and then you believe, it won't happen. It won't happen. You got to believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please me. Got to believe. But I don't believe. That's your problem. Now, picking up, if I can, in the light of that, verse 5, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. That's what he did. Now, when Moses comes along to Exodus, since you're back here, Exodus 19, and in Exodus chapter 19, picking up, please, in verse, you'll catch it, verse 5. This is 19 and verse 5. This is his great, great, wonderful promise. God's plan for Israel as a nation. Now, therefore, if you will obey, there's your little word, obey my voice, indeed, and keep my covenant, then you will be a peculiar, special, prized, privileged people, treasure, unto me, above all people, for all the earth is mine. When you obey, what do you want? Obey, to hear. Hear what God says. Thus saith the Lord. And to hear at Mount Sinai, they heard. They didn't believe. They didn't believe. They should have at least believed. They didn't. They didn't want to know. They loved darkness rather than light. Back over to Hebrews 5. In Hebrews chapter 5, and picking up again, in chapter 5, you'll catch it, you remember as we did it, chapter 5, going to verse 8, though he were a son, our Lord, yet in his perfect humanity, learned he obedience. And remember now, just for the sake of tying it, hold your finger right here and go over to the Gospel of John and chapter 5. Gospel of John, chapter 5. And picking up if I can, chapter 5, verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing, nothing, zero. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. I pay attention. I am in my perfect, that's why he's perfect. He's the perfect man. Who? Please go, here in John, I turned it. Go back to John chapter 8. If you haven't left it yet, I did. Yep, John chapter 8. What do we know? Our Lord. Walk by faith. John chapter 8, verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, crucifixion, then shall you know that I am he, that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Verse 29. I speak them. My Father says it, and I say it. I agree by faith. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. I please God, just like Enoch. I please God. That's what I did. In my perfect humanity, I represented what a human God designed us for. God designed human in his likeness and image to enjoy God's wonderful, wonderful person. That's what it did. We have to enjoy God's wonderful person by believing he is and he can do everything. And you believe. And you enjoy God. You enjoy God. Now, so here's Abraham. And Abraham believed a God. And a God blessed his heart. Hebrews chapter 11. Abraham obeyed God, looking to God. And in chapter 11, picking up, please, in the light of verse 8, keep that in mind, if you would, in verse 8, verse 9, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, or the word tabernacles, tents. Think of a tent. Temporary dwelling, tabernacles, with Isaac and with Jacob, and the heirs with him of the same promise. So what are they doing? What did Abraham do? Abraham was in the middle of idolatry. Remember that Genesis flood ends, all the nations are divided, languages, everything's different. God may change everything. So you couldn't get together easy over the East Indies and South America and everywhere. He made it, you can't do it. And divided us. And in the process of that, in God's wonderful grace, Abraham was in a world of unsaved people, just like in the days of Noah. But there's other saved people too, like Job and others. But Abraham believed God, and he was part of his family was idolatrous. The whole family was into idolatry, and God took him out of it. Genesis 11 and 12, and he took him out of idolatry, took him out, and his father took him moved to Haran. Idolatry everywhere. And then God told them to Abraham, get out from these, leave your father, leave your family, get away from them. They're into idolatry. And come forward. Genesis chapter 12. That's what he said. And Abraham believed God, not knowing. He didn't know where he was going. He had no idea. No idea. God never told them. He just told them to just go. And Abraham went in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So therefore, and therefore, when he went, he's moving, he sojourned as a stranger, as an alien, someone living in a place that really doesn't belong there. And in the process, that's what he was, a stranger. Wherever he went, he sojourned, he was a nomad. Going from place to place, in a tent. Why did he do that? Now God, what's so wonderful about that? Chapter 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in the tabernacles, tents, with Isaac and Jacob, etc., and looking for the same promise. So God, what are you doing? What did Abraham do that was so remarkable and wonderful? He lived in a tent. Do you remember when he was a very wealthy, wealthy, wealthy man. And in the process, he took and had him build a castle over there Jerusalem. No, he didn't. Abraham lived in a tent all the days of his life in the land. God never, never in all of the years, God never gave him a place to live. He lived in a tent. Now hang on. And he lived in that tent all the time. Now comes Jacob, comes Isaac, and then comes Jacob. And they lived in tents. They never lived in a place. They never lived in, they always were nomads, moving, able to move like the Arabs in their tent. Move. That's what they did. Now, God, what on earth is going on? If that's the place, isn't the land? Isn't that where Joshua is going to go? Isn't that where the 12 tribes are going to find a home? Yes, but that isn't the issue. That isn't the issue. No, no. They lived in tents. That's what they did all the way down the line. And so that's what, as they moved now. And having said that, so here's Abraham. And hang on now, you got to get the other part of it. Abraham is going to have a child, Genesis 12, 1, 2, 3. They're going to have the seed of Abraham. It's going to be as the seed of the world, ultimately. And in the process, coming down, so here's Abraham, and Abraham is there. And then finally, he's going to have a child, but he never has a child. There's no child. He and Sarah never have a child. And Abraham is 100 years old. Abraham's 100 years old. And when he's 100 years old, he's going to live 75 more years. So he's 100 years old. And 60 years, when he's 160 years old, he has Isaac. He has Isaac. That's what he has. So here's Isaac, 160. He's 100 years old, he has Isaac. And then 60 more years go by, and Isaac is 60 years old. And when Isaac is 60 years old, he's going to have Jacob. Now, Abraham is living all of this time. Abraham is living 75 more years. 60 years old, Isaac is. 75, Jacob's 15 years old. There they are. So when you read in chapter 11, you read, and he was tempts with Isaac and Jacob. They all lived in tents. They all lived in tents. They're all at the same time. And keeping that in mind. And do you want to do that as an exercise? Do you want to see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob? Not for the fun of it, but do you want to see it? Just everything's backed up. Just have to look for it. Go to Genesis chapter 21. We're going to lose the sojourning, though, in doing this. And you need to understand why the tents. Okay. Genesis chapter 21. I probably shouldn't do this. Genesis chapter 21. Picking up, please, Genesis 21, and in verse 5. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. Okay? You got that part. Okay, chapter 25. Chapter 25, and picking up, please, in verse 7. These are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, 103 and 15 years. That's what he lived, 75 more years. 3 and 15, 60, 75. And so he's going to live. Now, over to verse 26. And after that came his brother out. Remember, this is the birth of Jacob. And after that came out his brother. His hand took hold out of Isaac, I should. Isaac, Jacob and Esau were born from Isaac. After that came out his brother, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 60 years old, when she bare him. So Isaac is 60 years old, and Abraham's still alive and got 15 more years to go, and Jacob's born. Jacob was 15 years old when Abraham died. They're all, so when you put them together, they're all there in line. That's where they are. Now, back over to Hebrews 11. Back over to Hebrews 11 and nowhere, I guess. Gotta quit. And in Hebrews chapter 11, and you will notice in verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise. He obeyed God. He went just where he didn't know where he was going. He went to the land, and he never started money. He kept moving around. He kept moving around. All that land, you know, is where it belongs to Israel in God's dividing up of the world. So, in the process, and what was he doing? He was looking for a city. Hang on to that. We got to quit. He's looking for a city. And there is no place he can ever lock into on planet Earth. Joshua's in the land. That isn't it. The kingdom, not it. What are you looking for, God? What are you looking for, Abraham? I'm looking to what it's all about. God's wonderful promise of a new heaven and a new earth, a new city. I'm looking for that city. That's what I'm looking for. That's where we're headed. Oh, we got a nice little lot of land here in Palestine. That isn't it. And you're going to have wars and rumors of wars and Babylon and the kingdom and all of that. That isn't it. No, all of that is to pass away. And God creates a what? New heaven and a new earth. Tents. Nothing's permanent. You and I are living in a tent, aren't we? You're living in your house, physical. You're living in a tent. And it isn't meant. You can't keep the tent even if you go to the doctor 3 times a year. You can't keep the tent. The tent is moved. That isn't what you're here for, to live in this tent. Sin has loused it up. I got to quit. God's going to do something wonderful. We'll catch it. It's a wonderful thing. Wonderful truth. Super duper. Anyway. Thank you.